welcome to episode 7 of season 5. If you've just joined, I'm Robin of Out of Tired Witch Everywhere, and Maria's back. Maria of Maria the Arcane Everywhere. She's back. Yay! No more being sick.
Hello. Well, still getting over it, but it's so much more manageable. So I am alive. I'm alive.
Good.
We're glad.
She has risen. Oh, goodness. As a reminder to everyone, if you haven't already joined our Patreon, you should. This month, we are going to be having our class on American folk magic with Corey Hutcherson. It's going to be on May 21st, which is a weekday, so it's going to be in the afternoon. So if you are somebody who is interested in American folklore, American folk magic, that's the class for you. It's going to be very interesting. Corey's written some good books, and we've done them for
a month. He's been on the podcast before, too.
He has been on the podcast before, so yeah. Corey's amazing, and I think this is going to be an amazing class, so you should join us. And it is for library tier and up. If you can't make the class, but you are interested in it, you can join because it is available immediately to watch as soon as the class is started.
Yeah, and you get all of our past classes when you sign up for the most recent one. Besides on Eventbrite.
We're encroaching on 500 articles on Patreon right now, which is insane. Well, not articles, but 500 posts. Mm-hmm. And I'd say probably 60% of that is articles. Which is just crazy. So join us, won't you?
Yeah, join us. And don't forget, during Coffee Talk, like, we share user-submitted ghost stories or even just regular stories like you think the community would like to hear. And we have a number that you can call now and leave us a little voicemail with your story. So you don't have to, like, type it all up and spend all that time typing it up. And that number is 351-207-0799. And if, like, talking is not your thing, so you can just still send us, like, an email with your story and we'll read it out. And that is submissions@coffeeandcauldronspod.com, right?
No, Coffee and Cauldrons.
Just Coffee and Cauldrons.
She doesn't even know our website, guys.
I do. Just some things are pod, some things are not, but it's fine.
If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. The nearest one from when this episode comes out is going to be on May 5th. And that is the new moon in Taurus. I think that this new moon... Listen, everybody on the Discord gives me shit because I say I love this new moon. But I think this new moon specifically is very appropriate over the fact that we just got through eclipse season. We just finished retrograde. Everyone has been in the trenches. April was a lot. So I think that the new moon in Taurus is a good moon to follow this because it's such a grounding new moon. Like, yes, new moons are all about fresh starts and opportunity, etc. But this particular new moon is one that is going to be a lot more level-headed, I guess we can say. It's a bit dreamy, but in those dreamy things, we can look at them from, like, a grounded perspective, something that is sturdy, something that is stable, and that you are able to have these fresh start manifestations. We know how I feel about that word. These fresh start manifestations on a very grounded level that I think is going to give you the best chance to start something new that maybe isn't overly ambitious or overly whimsical and dreamy. It's a lot more practical. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes total sense.
I think that we needed this because I think last month was a lot.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
It was a lot. It was very much a lot. For me, this is Taurus new moons remind me of, like, the Four of Pentacles, which to me, I view it a little differently than other readers, is a self-investment card. Sometimes you have to save money or spend money on yourself in order to get, like, further ahead. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So I think in terms of new moon, just thinking about where do you need to get grounded in investing yourself, actually putting the time, money, and effort in towards it and setting your intentions towards that. You know, I think a lot of people, like, it's really easy to spend on things that you don't need, which is kind of like the dark moon aspect of Taurus, where they, you know, they like luxury. They like, you know, doting on themselves and things like that. But doing it wisely in a way that helps further, like, your, you know, your growth, your goals, and things of that nature, I think is a very good thing to do for this new moon.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's good. I think it's very grounded. We need it.
Yes. So every episode we talk about some tarot things. Like previous seasons, we have gone over like individual meanings of cards, and then we went into like the whole different sections in tarot. Like we went over the major arcana, the minor arcana, the aces, and the pages, the kings, the queens, like all of it. But this season, we're concentrating on themes that we see in tarot. Just like as a reader, it's kind of like the storytelling building aspect of reading tarot. But this week we're focusing on when things are looking up, like when you get that card and you're like,
things are less bad.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness I am seeing this card because I need it. I deserve it. Can't relate. Can't relate. I'm just kidding. I can very much relate. Anyways. So the first card that I want to talk about is the Sun. On this card, you see like a baby riding a horse. He looks very happy, jovial. Is that a word? I don't know. Well, moving on. But he is free of like the weight, especially since it's a child, like it's your, obviously represents your inner child. So you're free of like your adultiness and like all like stress, the hangups and stuff like that. And you're just moving forward and you're feeling a little stress-free, and you know, you're at that place where you're just concentrating on your happiness. And I see it a lot after periods of like where you couldn't concentrate on your happiness and finding what makes you happy. And it's just kind of like prioritizing yourself and moving forward with things that make you happy after a time of being unhappy. But anyways, the next card that I picked is the Star, and it's very important when we're talking about the Star to mention the card that comes previous to this one, which is the Tower, because I always feel like the Star arrives like after tower like moments where everything like around you crumbles and falls apart and your very foundations are cracked and you're like, well, what the hell do I do now? And obviously many people go through the period of mourning the tower-like moment happening. But after that mourning period, you start dreaming again. You start thinking about what your future means to you and looks like to you. And it's just laying the groundwork of how you want to step into those things. Because dreaming and moving past the tower-like moment is very important. And the symbolism on the card is even like, you know, represents the Nile flooding and laying the seeds of, you know, new crops. And these new crops are your dreams and your desires. But the last card I want to talk about is death. Obviously, you know, death, the metaphorical aspect of it, is very hard to go through. It's leaving, it's like a snake shedding its skin. You're leaving behind what's no longer serving you, and you're elevating yourself to like who you want to be and what you want to become and who you need to be. And it, for me, death seems to almost always follow after a period of like drudgery and like, you know, like when you keep trying to make something work that is not working. It used to work, but it just is not serving you as you're trying to move forward through your life. And it's just like the decision to like cut it out. That is a death-like aspect. But yeah, those are my three cards. What are yours?
My first one is the Moon, which I feel like is not an obvious choice when you are talking about things improving. But the moon is all about illusion, delusion, paranoia, seeing things that aren't there. And the moon is such a great reflection to step back from our situation and view it through fresh eyes, perhaps get feedback from other people in your life, etc., to really view things from a more like well-rounded perspective. Mm-hmm. And when we have that viewing things from a more well-rounded perspective, we tend to switch our attitude from glass half empty to glass half full. Mm-hmm. And when we have that attitude, things start to improve. It isn't to say, you know, positive mindset fixes everything, because it doesn't. That's not real life. But sometimes it's really easy to get stuck in the mud when things are going wrong, where I call it getting nuclear, where you are so frustrated with something and it's going so bad that you're so upset that you're actually making it worse, mm-hmm. because you're just trying to find solutions for things that you just, it's impossible, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we're able to kind of get feedback, we're able to step back, we're able to view a picture from like the whole well-roundedness and kind of switch the attitude of being so negative about it, we at least are no longer making it worse and thinking things can start to improve. Mm-hmm. It's like a potential, right? Mm-hmm. While the second card I picked is the Eight of Pentacles, and this is an apprenticeship card. In terms of things like looking up and getting better, it is the start of a journey. It tells us that you're at the beginning of things getting better, long-term goals and aspirations for yourself that you're going to work towards. But taking those first steps towards working towards a goal is the most important thing that you can do to get to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you're never going to win the lottery if you never buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. This isn't to say, of course, that everyone who buys a ticket wins the lottery. But my point is, if you never take those first steps, you're never going to hit your dreams. It's just not going to mm-hmm. happen. And so this tells us that you're making the active steps to improve your situation, mm-hmm. whatever that might be. And just kind of keep going, keep working at it, and remain humble that you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And my final card that I picked is the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune is pretty obvious. It's in the name. But it also tells us that life is constantly moving forward. The wheel is constantly moving forward in our life. So while things might be, you know, not doing so great, it will keep moving. It will keep going. It's like that expression, if you're going through hell, just keep going. Mm-hmm. It tells us our life is moving forward. The page, the chapter of our life story is moving forward. We're on to a new section, and that we have potential to turn things around, to make things better for ourselves. But like, life keeps happening. It keeps moving forward, whether we like it or not. And we start to have, what's the word I'm looking for? Catch-ups, hang-ups, when we refuse to allow that chapter to turn, which is a mm-hmm. thing people do.
Yeah, yes. I definitely agree, because you can do things that keep you on top of the wheel for a little bit longer, and you can get stuck at the bottom of the wheel if you're very mm-hmm. like resistant. And yeah.
It's hard to let things go sometimes, whether they're good or bad. That's just part of being a human being. So I don't think that's a character flaw of anyone. I think we all do that to some degree at some point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this episode, we thought we would talk about something very prevalent to both of us. We thought we would
talk
about...
Some of us more than others.
Yeah. Some of us have been in the thick of it. But we thought we would discuss health magic. What it is, what it is not, our personal experiences, and all of that. But yeah, what's your opinion?
Well, I'd like to start this episode, or this segment, out by saying, if you're experiencing any kind of health matters, whether it's physical, mental, etc., you are not less than, you are not failing as a witch, etc., by going to the doctors. You should seek medical care. Maria and I are mm-hmm. in no way trying to bypass that by this episode. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But before we dive in it too much, in case we don't cover it too much, I do want to put that disclaimer in. We are very pro doctors here. We are very pro medicine here. So in no way are we trying to say, don't go to the doctors, just eat some essential oils. Because that is not how we feel at all. So I just want to preface that before we get started.
Yeah, I figure we're going to get into it with this first subject a lot.
Yeah, we are going to get into it, but in case we don't cover it well enough, I do want to put that disclaimer in that Maria and I are not saying to ignore your mental, physical well-being and do a spell about it instead.
No.
Not at all.
Don't do that. No.
Anyway, what were you saying?
Well, since you started it, what do you think health magic is not?
Health magic is not thoughts and prayers to cure away the cancer. I know that's maybe a drastic example. And I do think that health magic can assist in healing process for things. I do think that thoughts and prayers can work for certain things. But I don't think that doing magic for health alone for major illnesses, etc., is enough. I think it's one of those, it's a nice additive. It works in conjunction with you getting professional help.
I definitely agree with that. And like, especially I see like spells and doing stuff like that as like they're like treatments, like but just like smaller treatments that you do to help get you through. And like I think a lot of people especially starting witchcraft thinks that it can do all and heal all, but no, it's supposed to just help us along and help us along our path. And it's really easy to get trapped and think, well, you know, this spell went really well, why won't it like make my chronic illness go away? And I think that that's completely, I mean, like,
do you remember when there were all those people that were claiming that their magical whatever could cure herpes?
Was like, well, those one comments on Instagram.
No, I can't actually.
No.
Wrong.
No. It's just, I definitely, magic is not a cure for illnesses, and it's just a helping thing. And it really sucks because there are major authors out there that even in their books, like, unfortunately have said that if you can't cure your illness with magic, you're not a great witch. And it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing and so scary. It's very harmful to the community to hear that, especially newer witches who are getting into it and like, well, I'm not cured, so I must not be like a real witch.
I think it's a very toxic mindset that comes from new age spirituality. That is spoken from a point of real privilege and lack of experience, typically from, unfortunately, white women that are affluential and are otherwise healthy, that then struggle to see that anybody else can have a life experience that isn't identical to their own.
It's a whole, like, unfortunately, like, white love and light sort of stuff that we see a lot in the community.
I think it's important to really emphasize the fact that I really do believe in the power of magic as an additive for healing magic. We have unfortunately had some Discord members who have had cancer. It's been awful. My heart has gone out to them so much in a serious way. And I look at it as a means of, you know, sending them good energy, but simultaneously part of good energy is the energy to be able to fight alongside, you know, your medical professional, like physical energy and ability to be able to do something. And I think that there is healing magic that you can send to people or do for yourself that will help with that. But like, I don't know, spell work is not gonna pray away cancer, unfortunately. I wish it could. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be so great. So along those lines, what is health magic to you?
So health magic to me is sending people energy. We can see it in things like Reiki. Reiki is a really great example of passing energy from one person to another person to help with ailments in their body, blockages, etc. Obviously, that's an example. Not everybody practices Reiki. Spell work is the same concept in this, in my opinion, where we are sending people energy from ourselves to them to help them through an illness, to help them get well soon. You know what I mean? But it's like almost like speed to recovery than the cure. Does that make sense? It's like taking vitamins. Yeah. If you have like pneumonia, for example, taking vitamins is going to help your body fight off the pneumonia, but it's not the thing that's going to get rid of it. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a vitamin.
It is. I definitely agree that I think it just helps move things along. And okay. So I like to think of it like this. Like, let's say that you have a headache. Obviously, you're probably still going to take your medications, as you should.
Yep.
But you're also going to, like, lay your head on a pillow and, like, just chill out. That is spell work. It's the laying your head on the pillow and chilling out. Like, it's active giving rest. You that space for recovery.
Yeah.
And to it's setting the intentions for recovery, like, those, like, things. So it's, like, just like helping it along, helping the things that you're already doing, working alongside medication and stuff like that, not denying that you need it.
Yeah. I think that's a really good way to word it. Mm-hmm. Which kind of leads me into the next segment. And I want to talk about it is our own personal experiences. Obviously, without oversharing anything you're uncomfortable with, what's that like for you?
So I'm a chronic illness, which I've spoke about it many times on the podcast and stuff like that. And unfortunately, what I have, which is endometriosis, is uncurable by medication and spell work. But the way in the past that I've used spell work in relation to my endometriosis is that it does help me get in the right mindset of like keeping my pain down and doing things that make me chill out so my body can heal and rest. And like, yes, it can help take away some of the pain, but it does not like completely destroy it and get rid of it. Like that's completely unrealistic. And most recently, like the past 2 months have been horrible. What started off as an ear infection turned into migraines and a headache from me like constantly like having to pop my ears, and then that turned into TMD, which I'm still like kind of recovering from, like having to ice my jaw and stuff like that. Like it's just been a whole like you're already rolling down the hill, just keep rolling, just keep hitting stuff, eventually you'll hit the bottom. But the way like I think a lot of people don't realize the magic that lies in rest. Rest is grounding magic. And I've even put that on like social media because it's true. It is grounding magic. It is you recharging and healing and stuff like that in order to feel better. It's intentional grounding that you're doing. Like a lot of people forget to look in the magic and the mundane. And if you're intentionally doing something to heal, that is magic. That is like taking care of yourself. Yeah. But I've also did like health spell bottles for me and stuff like that. And also a bunch of like doctors hear me, see me sort of spells, because as a chronic illness, which I do have medical trauma, I have medical trauma up the wazoo of like people not believing me and not listening to me. And while doctors were not great this time around either. I still got the like treatments that helped it along to help me on the healing route and gave me the groundwork of healing myself. And I am very thankful for that. But yeah, like just spell work helped like ease things and move things along, like as we mentioned, and that's what I needed and that's what it did. So how about for you?
Well, I have chronic pain. I have a handful of slipped discs in my back, which is very sexy. I'm not trying to brag, guys, but I am live, laugh, loving my best life at all times. And for me, for that, for a starter, is I've always found yoga as a ritual to be not only helpful in a like literal and physical way for my chronic pain, but the ritual act of taking time for myself every day, I find it quite meditative. And like, there was a time when I was working specifically with sun gods. And so I was doing things like sun salutations every single day. And I found that to be quite, meditative as well. And as a good act of devotion.
Yeah. I did a lot, like during this time that I was gone, I did a lot of yoga to help with my jaw and also to relieve my headaches and migraines.
Obviously, yoga is a very complicated subject when we talk about spirituality, so I'm not going to get into that portion of things, but as a means of, like, physically making myself better, I do find that to be very helpful. The other thing that I want to talk about is mental health, especially considering the fact that recently there has been, I don't know if you saw the news, this is going to be trigger warning here on infant death. And abuse. So I'll pause there so people can fast forward if they want. But there was a recent case where a woman, unfortunately, there was something going on with her, whether it was postpartum, just mental health illnesses in general, or spiritual psychosis. We are never going to know. So let's stop diagnosing strangers on the internet. Who was an astrologer. And she unfortunately had an episode of whatever kind and ended the life of her baby, attempted to of her eldest kid, and ended her partner's life. And I think it's been very interesting as somebody myself who has mental health issues, and I'll get into that in a minute, that we have turned our backs on this person right away. Oh, she's not a real astrologer. She's an astrology influencer. She's not like us. The fact of the matter is this was a member of our community, and while what happened is obviously atrocious, no way am I making excuses for that behavior, nor do I think it's right what happened. This was a member of our community, and one that obviously needed help and wasn't getting it. People don't wake up on a Tuesday because of or not because of the solar eclipse and decide to take the lives of themselves and everyone in their family. That's not normal. That's not a normal thing that somebody who's doing well does. And so regardless of the reasoning, this was a member of our community, and I think it's very disrespectful to play it off like they aren't really a member of our community because of this horrific thing that happened and that they did. Which leads me to my next point of spiritual bypassing via medication. I have general anxiety disorder. I have suffered with it my whole life. I was diagnosed when I was a teenager, and I get help for it. I am on SSRIs. I think that they help me be clearer and better, not only as a person to show up, but also a diviner. I'm not so into the bias of doom and gloom when I don't have anxiety overwhelming me. And I think that there's a really harmful discourse that happens in our community that you are above taking medication because you're a witch, or, you know, your medication will dampen your power, your magic, your third eye, whatever. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. And you should take your medication because you are the most important person in your life. Your life mm-hmm. matters. And you should be taking whatever you need to take to make sure that you continue chugging along with a smile on your face. Even if not a smile on your face, that you're just not so totally overwhelmed with doom and gloom. I mean, when I had my first kid, postpartum was not a joke.
Yeah.
It's real.
I will say, like, this might be, I don't know, controversial opinion, but I mean, I honestly do think medicine is spell work. Like, it's literally people putting a bunch of ingredients together to make them work and to help healing along.
Sure,
And medicine was kind of, like, was involved with alchemy at one point. Like, during, you know, people putting stuff together and finding out what happens. And so, I mean, alchemy is part of magic. So
totally.
Why isn't
I mean, I can totally see the argument.
Yeah. So why isn't, like, medication magic? Like, why not take another, you know, witchy doctor's, like, pills that you are being prescribed? Like, do it. I mean, if it's going to make you feel better and help your healing, not taking them is just, especially if you're, like, in a lot of pain or struggling mentally, I mean, you really are just setting a big blockage for yourself in magic. Obviously, you know, taking medication is a big deal and, you should think about it and consider it, the pros and cons and all that. But if it will make you better and you're just deciding not to take it because of you're worried that it will destroy, like, your magical self, like, that's not true. Not true at all.
Yeah. I think that there is, again, this really, like, big privilege that comes from people who are physically and mentally sound or think that they are.
I'm going to say something after you're done.
People who are mentally well do not put punch down on others. They just don't. They don't punch down on others about what they're doing with their own physical body. But I digress. I think there's just this really large discourse that, you know, if you were a strong practitioner, you wouldn't need this. And it's like, shut up. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Medicine saves lives, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, it saves lives. And you can't practice magic if you're dead, dying, or struggling mentally. You just can't. So how do you show up to magic if you're not okay?
And then, like, a lot of people, like, look at people in our community who have chronic illness or going through, like, mental health issues and stuff like that. And they, like, there's so many people who instantly look down on them, but then they don't realize we are a community of, like, you know, chronically ill and mental health issues people. Like, most witches do have that because they find power within themselves to keep going by, like, finding their magical practice. And honestly, the people who are saying this stuff 9 times out of 10 are already doing, like, harmful things to their body that they should not be doing. And I don't know, like, you know, doing super hard drugs and stuff like that. Like, they have no room to speak. No room to speak. It's like the people who are like, I only eat, like, super duper duper, like, organic stuff. And, like,
there's a privilege in all of that. There really just is. There just
is. And then they'll go, oh, I lost my headphone. 1 second. But, and then they'll go and, like, do some crazy drugs and stuff like that. Like, that stuff exists. And yeah. And some of, like, chronically ill and, like, mentally ill people in our community are some of the most powerful and knowledgeable people out there because they see life from, like, a different perspective. They're more empathetic. They they've been through it, so they know how to connect with people better and know how to connect with situations better in my personal experience.
Yeah. What is your favorite healing plant?
Oh my gosh, probably Tulsi. I love Tulsi. And Okay. And let's be honest, I do like pot because it does help.
Wow.
With...
She's smoking the devil's lettuce, everyone.
I am, and I do, okay? It should be legal everywhere. But...
And here I thought you were clean and sober.
Oh, yes. 100% no. But yeah, for me, it's helped a lot with my pain. And also, like, I don't know, just a lot with healing and coming back to myself when I wasn't chronically ill.
Sure.
Personally. But yeah, how about you? What are your favorite?
I like marshmallow root.
I love marshmallow root.
So good. I love marshmallow root both for like healing spells and also like consuming when I'm unwell. Mm-hmm. And I also really like garlic. Oh, again, garlic for healing spells and for my body. Mm-hmm. Garlic is an anti-inflammatory. It helps so much with like getting better from when you're sick, and it also helps with like, at least in my experience, pain that is surrounding inflammation. I know turmeric can be good for that as well, but turmeric makes me poop my pants. So, sorry, gang. No,
I should probably mention turmeric too, because I take it every single day, and it's helped so much with my endometriosis, like the inflammation. And I used to have like terrible like mental fatigue and brain fatigue. I still have my days where it's really bad.
I was going to say, she's not cured, everyone.
No, I'm not cured. But it has helped tremendously. Like, I wish I could explain the weight of the fog that was my life. Like for years until I started like taking it. But I know that's not like a cure-all for everybody or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but it has helped a lot. It's, yeah, 10 out of 10. We'll keep taking. But how about you? What is like a favorite like healing spell of yours?
For me, I like baths. I like taking...
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, ritual baths. I will say that I do pair them with candle spells when I'm in the bath. So, like, I'm like, really thriving on some very cool vibes where I get the 7-day candles that I have special ones just for healing ritual baths that I put at the end of the bath when I'm taking one, and I put things in it like rosemary, thyme, Epsom salts. And I will just usually listen to like, what are those called? Sound crystals. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sound bowls?
Yeah, the sound bowls. Yeah.
Yeah. And that for me, like, cause a lot of, especially cause I have chronic pain cause of my back issues, the relaxing that comes with that typically also helps my back. Yeah, so what about you?
Mine's a bath too. I love adding fresh herbs to my bath when it's supposed to be like a healing bath. Like I get a load of like basil and a load of parsley. I personally like the Italian parsley the most because it smells so good, and it's like very good for you health wise and I just put that all over the bath and a bunch of Epsom salt, and it's just, you know, soaking in the healing of the herbs, and like the salt, you know, obviously helps like inflammation and detox and all that. So just going in with the intention of, you know, helping healing a lot and detoxing my body of whatever is like making my pain worse or anything like that. I'm a big fan of like when you're putting the herbs into your bath, like doing it a clockwise motion and thinking of why you're adding it as you're doing it. And then like not, you know, like sometimes we use our fingers like as a wand because you're like pointing, you're directing energy and stuff like that. So like, and then after everything's in, like the salt and everything, I like stir it with my hand just to kind of like with my finger pointed to like put my energy into the bath. But yeah, that's what I like to
I
do.
Love that.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, and I'm a very big fan. I will say one more time, you guys, before we end this segment, if you have physical ailments, if you have mental ailments, going to a doctor does not make you less than. It has nothing to do with your spirituality, nothing to do with your power as a witch. We're both live, laugh, loving. We're both thriving, and we both go to doctors and get medication when we need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's not ingest essential oils.
Oh, please don't eat essential oils. You guys. Oh my God. I could go on that about an extra 10 minutes, and we're not going to do that. I don't care how hot that influencer mom of five is, okay? She's homesteading. She's vibing. She makes her own lotions. I get it, okay? But she's a part of an MLM, and she's giving you bad advice, okay? Stop eating essential oils. Stop it.
And I do think that a big problem in the, like, New Age community and the Love and Light community is using crystals as a heal-all. I know of people who personally do it as a heal-all. And let me say, it has not changed her personality in the slightest. She's still, like, she's kind of like, am I the problem? No, I'm just going to take these crystals and I'm fine. I'm not the problem.
And on a final note of that, as an annual reminder, don't put the crystal in your body. It doesn't belong in your vagina. It doesn't belong in your butt. It doesn't belong under your foreskin. Okay, doesn't belong in your mouth.
That a thing?
That's a thing. I recently learned of that thanks to Threads. Thank you, Threads. Thanks,
You're
Threads.
Such a weird side of all social media.
Yeah, I'm in the trenches. Just don't do it, please. For the love of all things sacred, do not do that. Don't eat them either. I also saw people are selling and grinding up crystals and selling them as a tablet. Don't. Stop it. Stop it. Anyway. Just be safe out there, guys. And go see your doctor if you don't feel well. We love you and we want you to keep on chugging along. So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, let me tell you. Oh, I missed this. Anyways, so I am reading tarot for clients again, like on a more larger level. I was only doing Discord, like here and there, but I have started.
She's back, baby. Like,
yes, but I'm not like reading for the general public as of yet, or might not, but I'm going to start like a tarot reading membership, like where I read for the same people like repeatedly and stuff like that, because I do like the whole like people coming back and you build like a relationship as, you know, the reader and the seeker and stuff like that, and you it feels a lot more comfortable and people are able to share easier because you get to know each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a whole lot better, and it makes me like, it's what I love out of tarot. I always liked having my repeat customers come back and we're like, oh, hi, how are you? And you get to like catch up on past readings and be like, well, how did that go? Well, let's pull cards about like what happened because of that. Like, yeah, it's nice. And I really enjoy that. And I was like, in this whole time that I've taken a break, I was like, what did I enjoy most out of tarot reading? And that was like one of the major things. So as of right now, I'm offering it first to like my long-term clients who I have read here and there through my break, or like in the past have gotten multiple readings from me. And then I'm going to like offer obviously to our Discord babies, and then like if there's still spots open, then I will do it to the general public. Like, we'll see. But yeah. I'm very excited. I can't wait to read again. And it's going to be like video calls this time and not like.
So exciting. PDFs. I really prefer video calls. I feel like they're more fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just easier on everybody.
It's so much easier, especially on a reader, because the amount of time that I would spend on people's like PDFs, like I would write it out, would take me days.
It
was days of work and the money to like reading ratio was completely off. I would have to charge my time appropriately would not have been affordable to anybody. And I really wanted, it really hurt me like energy wise. And I did not want to repeat that. And after doing a few video calls, just how much easier it is and how that connection like with the reader is so much better. And I mean, not a reader, but the seeker is like much better and all that. I'm just really looking forward to getting back into it in a whole different way that is better for everybody. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
You're so welcome.
This is kind of going off of our main segment, but I've had to start working out again, and that is very stupid. I do not like cardio, but your girl is in pain 100% of the time at this point because I had complications with my pregnancy. I'm going to leave it at that. And I just have no, like, strength in my core, especially left at all, but my glutes, everything, it just all messed up. It's causing me the most back pain I have experienced in years. So I'm back to working out and trying to be more physical. I mean, I've never stopped being physical to some degree. Like, we go on walks and stuff, but that's just seeming to be not enough. So I'm doing more pointed exercise, which I hate working out. I hate it so much. I really hate cardio. I'm doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Heart health matters.
Yeah.
But I think it so much.
Yeah. I really think it's kind of like witchcraft where you have to find what you actually enjoy, and it's that whole process of finding out what you actually enjoy when it comes to cardio that you want to keep doing it, but it's so hard because so much of cardio just sucks.
So I'm doing like a couch to 10k thing. I'm not gonna actually do 10k probably, but just because I feel like it eases me back into it. I used to love running. Like, I used to love it. I've never been fast. I've always been more of a jogger than a runner, okay? But I used to love it because I felt so good afterwards. But it's the getting into it again, especially considering I haven't really done that kind of cardio in probably, like, 3 or 4 years. Oh, goodness. I just am in hell. But I'm trying so hard. And I think that has to count for something.
It does count. It does count.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mom.
You're doing a great job, hon.
Thanks. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about shops and creators, photographers, artists, just whoever that we are totally loving right now. This is not a sponsored ad. This is just stuff Maria and I really like. And we have a third submission every episode now that comes from you guys, the listeners. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
So I hope we didn't say them before on the podcast. I'm trying to think, but I don't think we did.
I don't think we did. I looked at their stuff and I don't think that we have.
No, like, I think I've mentioned, or we've mentioned the company in the past that's kind of similar, but this is different. But, so it's Curious Adornments Embroidery, and oh my gosh, their embroidery is so freaking cute, and like, gothic, and witchy, and all that. I love it very much. I love how people are taking embroidery and just making it like this thing that I actually want to put on my wall. Because, you know, like, back, you know, when our moms were, like, young, like, the embroidery was, like, you know, bless this home with a bunch of, like, little tiny, like, I think it's cross-stitch sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but now it's, like, people are, like, making their own stitches in a way that, like, oh, it's like 3D art almost.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful and so stunning. And the way just that this...
They've gone back to the Renaissance. Creator,
yeah. The way that this creator like does stuff is, oh, so beautiful. Like stunning. Very gorgeous work. Like there's a spider piece that I want very much. It kind of looks like those ones that we talked about, like, you know, the bugs that are actually real bugs and put in like a picture frame with like a bunch of flowers, but instead it's done with embroidery. Like, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Stunning.
It's gorgeous.
Want it. Want it all. Anyways, who are you loving?
My creator this week is a jewelry designer called Wild Ride Silver. This is so cool. It came up on my threads. It came up on threads is how I found them, and they take synthetic opal and composite it together with like multiple colors and do these like electric rings and, you know, necklaces and stuff. And it is so cool. I have not been this excited about a piece of jewelry in a really long time. Like when I saw it come up on my feed, I was like, like it like took my breath away. I was just so blown away. They just use this use of color and texture because the synthetic opals have texture to them, like visually, right? It is such a fantastic use of synthetics that I personally have never seen anything like it. I think it's just so stunning.
If you're a 90s witch, you will love them.
It's Lisa Frank, but it's also somehow like very MySpace, but also somehow just so unique and just stunning. I am blown away by the pieces. I really am. I'd like to have one. It'll be another thing that I will miss the drop on.
Always hate that.
It is what it is, but it is just very, very cool. I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. And if it exists out there, I missed it because I am just so blown away. I really am. I've never seen anything like it. The heart checkered one with the little, like, I don't know if it's a diamond or like a CZ or moissanite or something, but it's like inlaid in it. Oh my God. I would do anything for one of those. So cool.
They're stunning.
They're really just gorgeous. So neat. I cannot express enough that my jaw, like, I made an audible gasp when I saw it.
You know what makes me think of, like, right away when I saw them, like, my brain went to, like, 90s movie theater.
Yeah.
90s movie theater jewelry.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Yeah. It's like sophisticated costume jewelry, and I am here for it. I just love it so much. Our listener choice this week is a small business. The account is called Alicia Mazzella. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It will be in the caption, as always. But they are a small business candle company, which is so cool.
Yeah. They make things extensively, like, out of just, like, beeswax.
Uncolored beeswax.
I don't know. Beeswax is my favorite type of, like, candle to work with. If I could just buy all beeswax candles, I would be so happy. Like, I couldn't imagine how amazing that studio smells at all times.
Oh, my God. I want to be in there. Let me get inside. They primarily seem to make taper candles, but I have seen a couple of mold pieces that they do, and just really beautiful. I think this was a really great submission to whomever sent it to us. Unfortunately, I did lose the email, so I am sorry. But I think that it is just stunning. I think it's really great. So thank you for sending us this.
Yes. Send us more.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope to see you again Friday, May 10th for our Coffee Talk episode, or May 17th for the 8th episode of Season 5. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us on May 21st for our class with Corey Hutchison on American folk magic.
Yes, please come to that class because Corey Hutchison is such an amazing storyteller. Like, he's one of the storyteller voices. So,
yes.
Yeah, you guys are in for a treat. But yes, anyways, yes. Additionally, on our Patreon Magical Beginnings, we have a special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of
articles. Which is starting again next week. The part 2 episodes are starting again next week.
They are. And a Discord community full of fun events and discussions. Like, so many events, guys. We are, like...
It's sick.
There's something always happening. Always. And I just started a journaling thing where we journal together and, like, set intentions for the month ahead. And that's available to everyone on the Discord. Not Discord, but on the library tier and up. Not just our Discord babies. But yeah, it'd be great if you guys could come. And we even offer a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yeah. So please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, just chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us from whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you're watching us on YouTube, go ahead and hit the like and subscribe, please. We would really appreciate that. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars helps us to be seen by others. And thank you to everybody who already has rated us. We really appreciate you. And we also really appreciate everybody who has joined us on Patreon. It's viewers like you that keep us going.
Literally. We wouldn't be here or have gone so far. But again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from @atiredwitch everywhere.
And I'm Maria from @mariathearcane everywhere. It's still so hard not to say Instagram or just like.
All right, ready?
Ready?
One, two,
three.
Bye.
Bye.